It's time to take a look at some of the movies that Michael has been watching. We are joined by Michael now. Good morning.
Good morning. These three films all open today. They're all kind of different. I guess two of them are a bit more commercial than one of them. One of them being a Chilean film that's all in Spanish, and it's called Emma or Emma. I'm not quite sure of the Spanish-Chilean pronunciation of that. This one stars Mariana Di Girolamo and Gael Garcia Bernal. That's a familiar name to many people. Directed and co-written by Pablo Larraín, who did a film called Jackie a few years ago, starring Natalie Portman. Emma, played by Di Girolamo, and Gaston, played by Bernal, their relationship is in crisis. They had an adopted son, but they were unable to raise him for various reasons, so they gave him back. Emma and Gaston blame each other. There's a lot of built-up resentment there, and Emma is a bit of a bohemian, whereas Gaston is a bit more straight-laced. Emma's response to this crisis seems to be to dance furiously, given that's what she is. She's a dancer. And to have multiple dalliances with both men and women. She also gets another job teaching dance at a primary school for reasons that don't become fully clear until the end of the film. Gaston is a choreographer with Emma's dance company, so they get to be awkward around each other a lot during the film. Look, I'm going to admit that I didn't really get Emma until the very end, making the first 80 to 90 minutes of this film kind of head-scratchingly excruciating. Any flow to the narrative is constantly interrupted by yet another dance sequence or someone using a flamethrower. And that's when Emma isn't getting angry at someone or having sex with them. Underneath all this, apparently Emma does have quite a coherent plan, but you'll need a lot of patience to see this movie through. Now, despite some vibrant dance sequences and plenty of other impressive visuals, this movie felt like one of those movies you kind of watch on spec at the Sydney Film Festival and grimly stick it out in spite of the almost continuous soundtrack of people getting up and leaving the theatre around you. You just stick it out to the bitter end. You really have to be in the right mood. I had no felicity for Emma.
You have to be in like that mindset where you can sit through it.
We'll move on to a couple of more commercial films. Moving on to Those Who Wish Me Dead. This one stars Angelina Jolie. Aidan Gillen pops up in this one. So does Nicholas Hoult, John Bernthal, Medina Senghor, and a little kid. He's probably about 13 by now. His name's Finn Little. This one's directed by Taylor Sheridan, who wrote Hell or High Water and Sicario. The last film he directed was Wind River in 2017. Angelina Jolie is Hannah Faber, a self-destructive former smoke jumper with PTSD and a drinking problem. Because she's also a park ranger, she's been stationed alone in a fire watchtower in a Wyoming national park. One day down by a stream, after narrowly avoiding being struck by lightning, remember that? How often do people get struck?
Because that happens all the time.
Yes, and you'd be surprised how often it happens in this film. After narrowly missing being struck by lightning, she encounters Connor, played by Finn Little, a young boy on the run from some very bad men, Hoult and Gillen, who've already dispatched his dad. Will this scenario fire up Hannah's will to live and possibly find redemption for an incident that we only see in flashbacks that she, of course, totally blames herself for? If I were a betting man, that's where my money would be in this fairly predictable action thriller. Angelina Jolie, she has done the action thing before in Tomb Raider, but Hannah is much more real and a flawed character than Lara Croft. But to a point anyway, you just know that her knowledge of the forest and fire will ultimately triumph over two ruthless special forces trained automatic weapons toting assassins in the end. I'm a bit concerned for Aidan Gillen's acting career at this point. He hasn't been in too many good guy roles since the demise of Littlefinger in Game of Thrones. I mean, if any of his characters came knocking on your door in any film, you just wouldn't open it. You know, he's going to be bad news. Though it was interesting to see the clean cut Nicholas Hoult playing a baddie in this one. The other star of this film, of course, is special effects. There's lots of sequences with lots of fire, but somehow there's no smoke. Nobody chokes. Nobody gets overcome by smoke. It's a bit weird. And there's also a confession written on two sheets of paper that somehow survives some very unlikely scenarios. There are a few sparks of a good film here, but ultimately, Those Who Wish Me Dead just flames out into ordinariness.
Okay.
We'll move on to, surprisingly enough, my favourite film of the three. I think it was because I went in with such low expectations. This one being Spiral from the book of Saw. This one stars Chris Rock, Samuel L. Jackson, Max Minghella, son of Anthony, and Marisol Nichols. It's directed by Darren Lynn Bousman, who directed Saws 2, 3, and 4, and many other horror-themed films. Did you know that the Saw franchise has pumped out 9 films since 2004?
I did not, and to be honest, I'm not a fan of horror, so it would take me a lot. That's 9 whole films.
And there is another one in pre-production. Franchise creators Lee Whannell and James Wan must just take baths in $100 notes. Apparently, torture porn is a very lucrative business. Anyway, in this 9th installment of the franchise, someone is killing corrupt cops, and the only man who might be able to stop our mysterious perpetrator, or the only men, are clean-skinned detective Zeke Banks, played by Chris Rock, and his new partner, rookie William Schenck, played by Minghella. Of course, Banks would rather work alone, as these cops always do, and he's certainly not going to get any backup from the other detectives, who think he's a rat because he's a clean skin. But Chris Rock is in fine comedic form in the first act of this film. Don't let all those hackneyed cliches that come spouting out of his mouth in the trailer dissuade you too much. They do pop up from all the characters in this film, but the lines feel like they're more like an in-joke from the writers, who are having a bit of a nod and a wink with the audience, who've no doubt seen many, many of these films before. The film's rated R for good reason, mainly due to Chris Rock's very liberal use of the word beginning with F and ending in UCK, that being one element, and the all-important graphic torture porn being the other. I don't know what twisted mind keeps coming up with new disgusting ways to kill people. Those writers' meetings must be quite fascinating. In spite of the gratuitous graphic torture, you've still got a fairly entertaining and solid thriller with a kind of nice twist at the end, coming in at a nice tight 93 minutes. Like I said before, a 10th film is already in pre-production, so I guess there's still plenty of blood and guts to be extracted from this stone. This saw still has plenty of teeth and is as sharp as ever.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh. Well, I guess there is like a massive demand for it. 3 kind of action films?
Well, 2 kind of action films and 1 film that'll just leave you shaking your head, going, what the hell have I just watched?
Oh, thank you, Michael, for watching it. So in some cases, we don't have to.
Pleasure.